Jane Dornacker was born on October 1, 1947 in Albuquerque, New Mexico. In 1965, she was elected San Francisco State Homecoming Queen after campaigning by being carried around campus in a giant bird cage. In 1968, she supposedly became the first female mail carrier for the U.S. Postal Service. In 1973, she was enlisted by prominent San Francisco glam punk band The Tubes as a dancer and backup singer, and she ended up co-writing The Tubes' classic Don't Touch Me There, which was later covered by Metal Blade label mates Lizzie Borden and Betsy from Bitch. Dornacker was very prominent on San Francisco's performance arts scene. Besides performing with The Tubes, she did sketch comedy, stand-up comedy, acted in plays, and ended up forming her own band, which she called Leela and the Snakes. This group also included singer Pearl E. Gates, who would go on to form her own band, The Explosions, and front that band as Pearl Harbor. Leela and the Snakes recorded quite a few songs. We heard their song Out in the Streets at the beginning of the episode. Now let's hear another song by Leela and the Snakes called Take the Risk.
Another party's over and I guess it's time for me to leave. People all seem the same, even the new ones that I meet. With another I'll take the risk of finding love. I'm still alone.
In 1978, Leela and the Snakes released a 7-inch single, which included the songs Rock and Roll Weirdos, which was probably a response to another female rock band called Fanny and their album Rock and Roll Survivors, and the B-side Pyramid Power. Both songs were written by Jane Dornacker.
Everywhere we go, people stop and stare, but we be Leela and the Snakes. So we just don't care. Because we're rock and roll weirdos. With rock and roll feelings.
Just like you.
A little bit sleazy, a little bit crazy, a little bit cheesy. And we'd like to get it down. Because we're rock and roll weirdos. With rock and roll feelings.
Just like you.
In 1978, Jane Dornacker also sang on a record released by R. Crumb, an underground cartoonist very famous in San Francisco, and his band was called the Cheap Suit Serenaders. Dornacker sang on the song Christopher Columbus.
A Jacob from Italy was walking down the avenue, eating a hot tamale. He knew the world was round, oh, his balls hung through the ground, oh, that
navigating, masturbating, son of a bitch, Columbo. A girl ran from the alleyway, and who was that pursued her? The white of an egg ran down her leg, Columbo surely screwed her. Columbus went to the Queen of Spain to get a ship and cargo. I bet I'll be a son of a bitch if I don't bring back Chicago. He knew the world was round, oh. He sailed his ship aground, oh, that masticating, masturbating son of a bitch, Columbo. Hold tight, Mr. Kiss Columbus. He was much at sea without a humpus. He got a pain in his cucumbers. Up spoke Mr. Chris Columbus. All he does is stand until I reach land. I must get a hand from someone in the band. Christy took one glance and quickly saw his chance when a blushing man dropped his pants for romance. Christy said, now bend down, mister, and remember if this should pain, it's for Spain. And it was not in vain when the man bent down. Christy went to town. How the crew did cheer as he worked from the rear. For 40 days and 40 nights they sailed in search of booty. They spied a whore on a pagan shore. By God, she was a beauty. Over the rails, by heads and tails, shedding their shirts and collars. In 14 minutes by the clock, she made $900. You know the world was round, oh. His pants were hanging down, oh. That flagellating, masturbating son of a bitch, Columbo. Hold tight, Mr. Chris Columbus. Hooray, hooray for the new world's first good hoppus.
After Leela and the Snakes broke up, Dornacker launched herself into comedy, winning San Francisco's Golden Cabaret Award for Best Female Comedian 3 years in a row. This is the same San Francisco comedy scene that birthed Robin Williams and Dana Carvey, and later Sinbad and Ellen DeGeneres. In 1983, Dornacker appeared in the film The Right Stuff as the mysterious Nurse Murch, and in 1985, she appeared in a forgotten Danny Glover film called The Stand-In. From 1981 to 1984, Dornacker was resident trafficologist for San Francisco radio station KFRC, providing traffic reports and comic relief for morning show DJ Dr. Don Rose. KFRC.
Dr. Don Rose on KFRC at 825. Yeah. I used to have wavy hair. Now, of course, it's waving goodbye. Back when I grew up, I used to wear a crew cut. Of course, later on, the crew bailed out. Right. I remember one time I went to a psychiatrist. While I was telling him nobody ever took me seriously, I noticed he was giving me a hot foot. Right? I got a nice letter this morning from my fan. Dear Dr. Don, every time I ache, every time I feel bad, every time things are really going terrible for me, I go to my wife and she puts her arms around me and caresses me and soothes me until I forget all about the pain. Gee, that sounds great. You don't suppose you could send her over here, do you? 20% chance of rain today. Last time I did that, had an unfortunate accident happen to me. This guy with his whip came in right off the street. Oh, gee! Where did you come from? The whip? 46 at Sacto this morning is KFRC, Woman in Love. That, of course, from the movie The Pussycat That Licked Cleveland. Speaking of entertainment, let's see what's on TV today. Major General Hospital. Dr. Wendell removes a fur ball from the notorious cat burglar. Dr. Don Rose at KFRC in San Francisco. I'm all right. Reminds me of an old girlfriend I used to have with a wooden leg. In fact, I still think of her every time I get a splinter. Oh, and if you're planning on going to a nude beach this weekend, watch out for kids with slingshots. Boss says you have to take a totally hip attitude towards the ladies you invite to your apartment in 1980. Says they have to be cool in the kitchen, laid back in the living room, far out in the bedroom, and real gone in the morning.
Ho, ho, ho.
And now, Rick Shaw. Rick was telling me he's never been too lucky with the women. Says even in his dreams, they say no.
Yeah, afraid of that. 9 o'clock, I've got the best music at KFRC, San Francisco.
Dornacker moved to New York City in 1985 to take over the traffic report for WNBC. The station had just fired Howard Stern and replaced him with Joey Reynolds.
Stern was noted for his ethnic, racial, and almost always controversial attacks and subject matter. Yesterday, WNBC, citing conceptual differences, that's a quote, canceled Stern's afternoon drive time radio broadcast. A little later in this broadcast, Howard Stern will be our guest in the studio to give us his side.
At about this time every evening, in a segment we call The Heart of the Matter, we'd like to discuss a special topic. He's holding my hand, Carol. Tonight we're going to do something a little different. We're going to spotlight the personal humor of Howard Stern, one of New York's most outrageous and out-of-work disc jockeys. He was fired yesterday from WNBC late. That talk show in the afternoon. You've lost me here.
Carol's got some nice legs.
We'll be talking to Howard in just a minute. But first, for those of you who need an introduction or reminding who Stern is, here's a little background.
He's the man whose jokes about sex and race and religion amused some, infuriated others, and sent his ratings soaring.
No, I'm not Jewish.
What are you?
Protestant.
Good. We're going to let you play because the Jews have been getting everything in this country, and now we're going to let the Protestants have their chance.
He's the man who called the TV series Hill Street Blues, Hill Street Jews. He's the man who made jokes about AIDS and airplane crashes and sexual hang-ups. And for that, he was reputed to have been paid about $200,000 a year. WNBC seemed happy with its radio bad boy. But yesterday, the man listeners love to hate was fired. And so, tonight on The Heart of the Matter, we are going to ask Howard Stern, when do broadcasters go too far? Where does hilarity stop and vulgarity begin?
Wow.
As I say, for those of you...
Where's Michelle Marsh?
Believe it or not. Don't ask about the rest. We're on now. Howard Stern was on the front page of the New York Post. They thought that was front page news with your wife and child. What does that have to do with being fired?
I don't know. That's where they got the picture from. Where's Michelle Marsh? Hey, you know, I could do record reviews on this thing. I was just talking to someone about that. I could come on here once a week and do record reviews.
Translate this for me now.
And I look pretty good on TV.
You look wonderful there. John Hayes, who's the vice president and general manager of NBC, you know, he's the guy who fired you.
Yeah, he fired me.
Translate, I'm trying to find out why you were fired. This is what
good,
he said.
I'd like to find out, too.
He said, we had a running difference of opinion on what the program should be, and I think that led us to a point over a long period of time where we decided that his show was no longer appropriate for NBC. What the hell's that mean?
I don't know. What does that mean? I said, why don't you poll your audience about that? What I think happened is, I don't think John really fired me. I don't think I was fired for anything I said or I did. What happened was the radio division loved me. The president of the radio division has just renegotiated my contract.
You're going to get paid now? I mean, you can.
Oh yeah, I'm going to sit home and get paid, I guess.
For how long?
Well, I got another 2 years to go. And the thing is, they all love me there. What happened was probably some yo-yo up at the NBC corporate or RCA or something. One of his kids complained about me, didn't like me, and threw me off the radio station.
You know, but maybe you are a little nuts when you think about what you call your bosses on the air every day. That's not really designed to further your career.
No, they know that there's a certain amount of honesty going on there, but I had a good working relationship with my bosses.
You know, it is a bit strange. They fired you, but throughout all the years, we all seen those signs.
You want to talk strange? What about your hair? It's orange.
Isn't that nice?
What, do you dye it? No, you look good. I'm serious. I love you.
Make it not seen, trying hard to keep clean, wondering what it is you're worthy of. Hanging out in a crowd, keep from thinking out loud. You know that when push comes to shove, you might believe for a while in a certain lifestyle. Still it's so hard to believe in love.
On April 8, 1986, the helicopter Dornacker was in lost engine power shortly after takeoff and crash-landed in the Hackensack River. Dornacker and the pilot swam safely to shore. 6 months later, and 3 weeks after Dornacker's 39th birthday, on October 22, 1986, at 4:44 p.m., Dornacker was broadcasting live to approximately 1 million people when the helicopter she was in, an Enstrom F-28 piloted by Bill Pate, had its main rotor blades seize in midair, and the helicopter went into a nosedive.
Okay, here's Jane Dornacker now on the Encopter.
Thank you very much, Joy. There was indeed an accident southbound on the Major Deegan at the Moshaloo Parkway, an accident, a serious accident involving a tractor trailer and a car. It has been pushed off to the shoulder, but now watch out there now, because another flatbed truck is going to have to come to clear it, so yield right of way. Northbound on the BQE, we spotted that disabled vehicle in the right-hand lane before the Cost Kiosko, not causing much of a backup, but further northbound there on the BQE, traffic is very heavy past the Cost Kiosko all the way over to the LIE. The outbound Holland Tunnel, extra heavy for you right now. Earlier, there was a car fire at Hudson and Canal Street. It has been cleared about, heading to New Jersey. The outbound Lincoln Tunnel looks a lot better for you in New Jersey. Get the water! Get the water! Get the water!
Okay, we're going to play some music here, I think. Mm-hmm. Find out what's going on with the helicopter. There's something happened there. It's 4:45. 16 till 5 on WNBC on the Joey Reynolds Show. We're taking an Encopter report from Jane Dornacker. Let's check in, see how they're doing there. And then we'll come right back at you. Nothing happened with Jane. We had a helicopter report from the Encopter. Of course, you know, once before we had this happen. A few months ago, she went down in the drink. Yeah. Not she. I mean, she has a pilot. Jane is...
Until we find out what's going on, we'll just...
Jane was up there just now giving us a report. And sometimes it gets cut off, too. You know, it's just an electronic thing. But this time she said, hit the water, something like that. So we're going to find out what's going on there. So stay tuned. We hope nothing... Say a little prayer. Hope nothing's wrong. That's really a... That's a hard job.
What those 1 million listeners did not know is that Dornacker's helicopter nosedived, struck the top of a chain-link fence at a river pier, and crashed into the Hudson River, very near to the Manhattan shoreline, near the USS Intrepid Museum at 46th Street, on the west side of Manhattan. The helicopter sank into 15 to 20 feet of water. Both occupants were trapped for between 10 to 15 minutes before help arrived. Firefighter Paul Hashigan swam 20 feet down to unhook the pilot from his seatbelt and bring him to the surface. He then returned to find Dornacker floating inside the helicopter, and he brought her up. Both were unconscious and not breathing. Jane Dornacker was declared dead at 8:20 p.m. on her way to St. Vincent's Hospital. The pilot would survive.
The them to savor the thick taste of blood. Born to fight, born to kill or be killed. Born to fight, born to go for the thrill of the fight. See his teeth clench their hold. Born to fight, born to go for the front. Born to fight, born to run with the wind. Born to fight, like the blood in his veins. Born to fight, like the girl in his coat. Born to fight, born to go for the throat.
Jane Dornacker was on the air at the time, delivering what turned out to be her last report. Reached in minutes, the pilot began breathing again, but a rescue squad that just happened to be at the scene could not save Dornacker. Just last April, reporting for the same radio station, Dornacker was injured in another crash when that helicopter plunged into the Hackensack River.
Last night, they killed WNBC traffic reporter Jane Dornacker. News 9's Kevin Rosen reports on the investigation and reaction from colleagues.
She is gone now, but there is one thing that will never be changed. Wherever she is, she's a shining star.
As fellow workers at WNBC Radio remembered traffic reporter Jane Dornacker, questions surrounding the cause of the crash that killed her remain unanswered. It was the second time since April an Enstrom piston-powered helicopter owned by Spectrum Helicopter crashed. Dornacker was a passenger both times.
We will not fly another Enstrom helicopter until we find out exactly what happened. This is our decision. This is the company's decision.
Just last year, Spectrum Helicopters was cited by the FAA for falsifying safety records. But a company spokesperson told me today that the company's helicopters were never grounded for those violations.
It was a paperwork snafu. We did not keep up on our paperwork. We're a growing company. We're growing very quickly. All our machines, all our aircraft are in safe condition.
WOR radio traffic reporter George Mead, an 18-year veteran, says Dornacker's helicopter would have been better off hitting the water first.
Maybe it hit the fence on the way down and that knocked the floats off, and hence the inability to float, and immediately sank to the ground.
Despite the crash, both Mead and WCBS traffic reporter Donna Fiducia were back in the air again, but not without some sense of fear.
It's not something that I really want to think about, because it could have easily happened to me, I guess. It's just a matter of, you know, being in the wrong place at the wrong time.
Ironically, after the last crash, Jane Dornacker said she was getting afraid of flying. WNBC disc jockey Joey Reynolds said only recently was she getting her confidence back. In Ridgefield Park, Kevin Rosen, News 9.
Jane Dornacker's agent said she had been considering a job that did not require flying. A memorial fund for Dornacker's daughter is being set up in San Francisco. Her mother's death comes just 4 months after her father died of a heart attack.
We did not want to believe that Jane was, first of all, that the helicopter fell. We did not want to believe that her body did not come out first. We did not want to believe that she died last night. We still don't. So I'm just being honest with you. We're going to take the news here, and then we'll come back. Here's Frank.
WNBC News, sponsored by Cooper Tire. See Jeff Pelicano or Barry Klein at Sunrise Tire at 1217 Teaneck Road in Teaneck, New Jersey. All right, Frank.
Okay, thanks. Here's what's happening. Many times we switched up to her with a catchy phrase like Jane in the plane. Well, most knew then and now know for sure that it was not a plane, but a helicopter that crashed yesterday, taking the life of Jane Dornacker. Funeral arrangements are still incomplete, and now the focus is on Spectrum Helicopter Company in Ridgefield, New Jersey. It's Enstrom copters, piston-driven, remain grounded today. And Spectrum owner John Boyd says he's doing his own investigative work.
I am very concerned with my life. I'm very concerned with my business. I'm obviously concerned with the safety of everyone who's involved. All I can say is that we do everything we possibly can do to make sure that these things don't happen.
Meanwhile, copter pilot Bill Pate remains in critical condition today.
You'll find Rayovac heavy-duty batteries at most True Value hardware stores and home centers. Tell them Pat Summerall sent you.
Joey Reynolds on WNBC.
Yep. We're going to play some more tapes with Jane Dornacker. Great moments with the lovely lady.
Mm-hmm.
Great lady of comedy. Never got credited with that. She was too busy telling us traffic is her life, which she did a great job with, but I still think of her as a comedian. They don't like to be called comedians anymore. They want to be called comedians, as actresses want to be called actors. The age of unisex. So it's 21:07 on WNBC, and this is an incident. I think the next one we got here is...
Well, this was good.
Was this Howie Mandel this was sitting here with a balloon on his head, or a glove made into a balloon.
And then Arnold Schwarzenegger walked in.
And Arnold Schwarzenegger walked in. This is not a voice impersonation. This is truly Arnold and truly Howie Mandel. And as always was the case at WNBC, Jane Dornacker, after they went down the first time in April with that helicopter, she did the reports from the studio until they made it safe for her to fly again. So I'm sure she went through a lot of trauma. Because psychologically, that's got to do a number on your head. I'm speaking for her now. Because she did say to me, I'd rather be in the studio. And I said, we'd rather have you in the studio. They put her in this little news booth where a piano would not fit. But invariably, she'd walk into this room and a guest would be here, and they would just be in awe because she had that certain look. She had a big, tall, gawky look and a great heart and a lot of charm and a lot of love would come from her. I'm using that word a lot today. I don't mind overusing the word love. But she walked into this room when Arnold Schwarzenegger was here. And Howie Mandel, here's what happened.
Look at this.
We got someone here, and you probably remember from your past, if you can put these earphones on, this is someone who you had a fleeting moment with this lady years ago.
Oh, my God, it's getting hotter for the second.
She does our traffic here at the station. Her name is Jane Dornacker.
Dornacker?
You probably don't ever remember
her. Worse than Schwarzenegger.
God, that's redundant.
Dornacker.
Jane.
I can't believe it.
You remember picking her up? Not dating her, I mean just picking her up.
Yes, I am.
Jane.
Uh-huh.
Arnold is here.
Hi, Jane. I am back.
Completely. You're not back because you never came to begin with.
Oh, how
Whoa.
Do you know?
Jane!
I didn't mean anything bad by that, but I...
All of a sudden we're talking to Dr. Ruth.
I know.
Same channel. Jane, explain to Arnold
what... How about Schwarzenegger? That's a hell of an odd name, isn't it?
I mean, your name is kinky. I can't believe it. There's something S&M there. Do you wear black leather?
Okay, Arnold, did you remember one day about... now, this is truth. I'm speaking truth because I never do speak anything but the truth. And
yeah,
right now,
sure.
That traffic there... But maybe not. I don't know. I'm not sure. Are you? Just kidding, Arnold. Down here on the Grand Central Parkway, traffic is very heavy. I just want to get some official traffic information out of the way, but I wonder if you remember a while back before
question.
The one...
Get to the question, Jane!
Do you remember me?
I know you were the girl that was oiling me up backstage. You had terrific hands. I wanted to hire you full-time as a masseuse. I know it all.
No, you don't. You're just making that up. But I do remember that. When I told you I had to leave to go to a rehearsal, you said, don't make me cry. And I started to blush like a teenage girl.
Well, if I didn't see you sitting here and I heard her do that, I would have thought it was actually you on the radio.
I know, she did such a good act.
You should get into impressions.
Oh, God, yes. I'm going to sign her up exclusively for the Austrian television.
I know drag queens are big out there, but I ain't one. Don't make me cry. And don't make you cry if you're heading on the Triborough Bridge right now. Traffic is very heavy. Huh? Yeah, pretty smooth, huh?
WNBC, Joey Reynolds. It's our Thursday show. And it's a day that we have put together a little bit of a tribute to Jane Dornacker, who was tragically killed in a helicopter accident yesterday. Those of you who are leaving work late and tune us on and listen to us in the car and don't know what we've been doing today, and those who don't care, we've just been sharing our feelings. I wanted to get Janie on the air here for a minute because we haven't had her on at all today. And Janie, of course, is real good pals with Jane Dornacker, our very own Janie.
Yes. So. We're going to miss her. She was great. And as Dr. Don says, was it Don from Philly?
Dr. Don.
Yeah, he said that she was the oldest living hippie. And with her wild, crazy dress, she's the only person that could wear such outfits and get away with it because she always looked great in them to me. I don't know about anybody else, but I love to see her in them. I was with her last Thursday, and we was off of Crazy Nutty Cells as usual. But little did I know that would be the last time that I would be able to see her, she's gone, but she will never be forgotten, I don't think, by any of us, because here we all are like family, and it's just like we lost a member of our family with her gone. And I hope the other guy, I hope he pulls through also.
Okay. Thank you, Jane.
Welcome.
Couldn't let the day go by without putting her on the air.
That's right.
We've picked on you enough. I'm going to have to really do a lot of amends with people apologizing for all the comments I've made. We got a tape here of Janie. Well, it's all in fun. Okay, let's get Lloyd on the air. Hi, Lloyd. You're on the radio.
How you doing, Joe?
We got Lloyd Lindsay Young, who is from Channel 9.
Right. Joey, I worked with Jane out at KFRC in San Francisco. I did weather for that radio station other than my television job, and I just wanted to say that I had a pretty rough night when I heard about it, really, and I my deepest sympathy goes out to her daughter. It was pretty tough.
Well, I thank you for taking this time to share with us. We tried to reach you a little earlier.
Yeah, I was called out on an assignment, and I'm sorry I missed you. But Jane was a fun-loving, whimsical, energetic, zany, ludicrous at times, wonderful person. And I'll tell you, I've talked to a few of my friends out in the Bay Area, and it's major news in San Francisco, I guarantee you. That's where she grew up, one of the flower children from the 60s, and she was a big radio star with a guy named Dr. Don Rose out in San Francisco.
Yeah, Don was on with us earlier.
Oh, did you get a hold of Don?
Yes, we're having a charity thing that I don't know all the details on yet, but Robin Williams and Whoopi Goldberg are going to be involved, and we're going to have a fundraiser out in San Francisco maybe next week.
On behalf of Jane?
On behalf of Naomi, who is Jane's 17-year-old daughter.
Right.
I'll let you know.
If there's anything I can do to help out, Joey, I'd sure appreciate it. And keep the good work up over there at NBC. And I just wanted to let all your listeners know what a great person that I thought Jane was, personally and professionally, but mostly personally. Well, both. I mean, she was just terrific, and it's just a shocker. It's awful.
Well, thank you, Lloyd.
All right. Have a good evening.
Okay, bye-bye now. Also, Paul Schaefer called earlier, huh? You have to call him back? Yeah, because he and Jane were good friends, and Paul Schaefer was, they're off this week. The Letterman Show is off this week. They're doing reruns. So he was not in the building, otherwise he would have stopped in. And I think Al Roker. But there's a lot of people. I mean, Jane is very well loved. And as far as you folks are concerned, WNBC, hiya, hiya.
Hi.
People who count.
I'd like to talk to Joey.
You're on the air. What's your name?
Linda Burgess.
Okay, Linda.
Hi.
You have to turn the radio down.
Oh, okay. Wait a second.
Yeah, okay.
Here we go.
Just the real folks.
Okay.
The way it goes. Okay, Linda.
Hi. Joey?
Yes.
Hi. I just wanted to talk my feelings about Jane that I had. I've been wondering all day why this has affected me so much. I just can't figure it out. I woke up in the middle of the night. The first thought I had was Jane Dornacker. I woke up this morning. That was my first thought. I go to school. I walked around all day thinking about it. I couldn't figure out why. But the only thing I've been able to come up with is Jane was sort of a role model to me. She seemed to have a certain amount of independence, a nonconformist attitude, like you said she was the first hippie. Mm-hmm. But it was different, because now in our days, hippies aren't not around anymore, so that doesn't really matter. But as a woman, she really seemed to convey what I would like to find in myself. She was what she was. She did what she thought was best. She didn't care what other people thought. And I think people are always afraid of that. So I really looked up to her to be able to actually do that.
Might I correct you there? Hippies are still around.
Oh, well, yeah, they are still around.
You've been here since John the Baptist. He was the first one, you know.
But for their own reasons, maybe. I mean, for different reasons.
Well, I don't eat locusts. I have short hair now, but I'm a hippie.
That's true. You are what you are.
But thank you for calling.
You're welcome.
Okay, God bless you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now. So we're going to do our regular show tomorrow, I think. But we wanted to play some of the moments with Jane and give you an opportunity to be on the air and have some of her friends here today. And then we're going to ask you, not on this occasion, but I'm going to ask you for money for Naomi, her 17-year-old daughter. They're setting up a fund for her because no one left in the world. She lost her dad, who is, of course, Jane's former husband, last month. 6-7 weeks ago, I guess it was. August. He dropped dead at dinner with Jane and Naomi one night. So that was another big tragedy for Jane. And then, of course, she has her grandparents, but they're older. And we're going to set up a fund. And Dr. Don Rose, KFRC, in San Francisco, is having a benefit performance for the Naomi Fund, Naomi Knickerbocker Trust Fund, if you want to write out a check, KFRC Radio, 500 Washington Street, San Francisco, 94111. You'll be hearing more about that, so I won't dwell on it. But Robin Williams and Whoopi Goldberg and a bunch of stars are going to have a little fundraiser for her. We hope to go to that. I'd like to broadcast from there, frankly. But we'll see. Before I leave you tonight, we're way over time, and I want to take a couple more calls, because people have been holding on for a long time. There have been a tremendous amount of calls coming in today, and this is quite a shock for all of us. And it does us good to talk it out. And I have a problem, because I don't know how to tell my little 5-year-old girl that Jane Dornacker died. My little girl is just first year in school and doesn't know yet. I hope she's not listening to the radio now. She does know the wrong way. But Jane was a very, very free spirit who had a lot of love and soul, and children seem to cut through all the bull because they go immediately for the presence and the sense that we have about us on a spiritual level more than they do the physical or those awful things we call words that become so meaningless, including mine. But when you have this kind of a feeling about you and you give this off, children feel it. Animals do too, I think. But on the first level, children. Maybe on another level, angels. But that's one I don't know about yet. So my little girl doesn't know that. Jane, whom she loved so very much. I have tapes which I couldn't find today. I've played them on the air. Jane Dornacker and the Encopter Fastener, WNBC Belt, those tapes. But Jane to me was a child. Children love children. When I go home tonight, I'll thank God for the precious gift of Jane Dornacker for the short time we had her. Now let me take these final phone calls and we'll get out of your hair tonight. Hi, WNBC.
Hey, Yes, hi. I was a close personal friend of Jane, and I sort of underlined the things that you said about telling your children. 3 weeks ago, Jane did a benefit performance for my child's daycare center, the Purple Circle Daycare Center on the Upper West Side. And she did it not because there was any money in it, which there wasn't, or not because there was a lot of publicity associated with it. And just to sort of illustrate what sort of professional she really was, we did two shows. The second show was very sparsely attended. In fact, the performers outnumbered the people in the audience. And we asked Jane, should we go ahead with the show? I mean, there's only about 10 people out. And she said, go ahead. I mean, do it. The people out there. And she turned out her best performance ever. She didn't play to the grandstands. She didn't need 10,000 people or 10 million people. She was at her best with even a single individual. And I think we all have a lot to learn from her. I happen to also be a physician, so I got the entry into St. Vincent's yesterday to find out the real situation. And I'm probably the last person that knows her well that saw her alive or whatever sort of state you want to call the last moments of her life. And coming out of that place, I felt that it's so sad that in New York, everything after a major event like this, it's all gone. You walk in the street and the cars are going as usual and the river is as it was before, and everything gets forgotten in New York. But I think that your broadcast today shows me that that's not true, that people can remember and can do something to keep the memory alive of someone who is very special to all of us.
Thank you. Thank you for your call.
Okay.
Okay. One more. I said one more, didn't I? Which one do you want me to answer, Chris? You pick it here. We'll play phone roulette here. Anyone. WNBC.
Hi.
Hi.
This is Chris.
Hi, Chris.
Hi. I'm calling from Rhode Island.
Okay.
And I just wanted to say that we listen to WNBC all the time, and we did listen to Jane quite a bit, and I personally was shocked. The news. But what I do want to say is, I'm a little nervous.
It's okay. Take it easy.
We sometimes view people on the radio and as celebrities, as personalities, and not so much as human beings, as of course they are. And I know and have heard that Jane herself was a wonderful all-around human being, and I do want to say that you yourself have done a wonderful job in easing people's grief, their sorrow, in bringing it out in people so that they can share it, and I appreciate your sharing your human nature in regards to this, that I feel you yourself are a very unique and wonderful person, human being.
Well, thank you. I take no credit for that, but thank you. I appreciate your comments.
Bye.
Have a good night. I will leave you with this. We are late. I'm sorry. I apologize to the news department and to Dave Sims and his sports department. I want to leave you with the words of one of my favorite people, Norman Vincent Peale, although I was raised Catholic. And it's real hard to say this. He says the plain hard truth is there is a certain amount of risk built into the universe. It's part of the price we pay for the great gift of life. No one wants to die unexpectedly, either by a man-made accident or by the blind forces of nature. But these things occur.
In the subsequent investigation, the NTSB found that the Sprague clutch that was installed in the helicopter, which was on lease to WNBC Radio, was a military surplus part not designed for use in a civilian aircraft, and the part had not been adequately lubricated. It was determined that the clutch was unauthorized for that helicopter, and in addition, some internal components of the clutch did not conform to blueprint specifications. The incorrect part directly led to a mid-air seizure of the main rotor blades. The manufacturer of the helicopter, Enstrom, was owned by Manchester, New Hampshire businessman Dean Kamen, who would later invent the Segway, and was run by defense attorney F. Lee Bailey from 1971 to 1980. F. Lee Bailey told news reporters at the time that he had flown the same helicopter in which Ms. Dornacker crashed, and he said, if there had been a design defect, we would have known about it. It would have shown up in the first 100 hours, and it didn't. The real bombshell of the investigation came when an unidentified mechanic who was an employee of Spectrum Helicopters, the owner of the helicopter and the company that leased the helicopter to the radio station, said that he grabbed the wrong clutch off a workbench while fixing the helicopter's transmission. A month after the crash, Spectrum Helicopters of Ridgefield, New Jersey, was issued an emergency order by the FAA in which it charged that the company conducted faulty repairs on the three-seat helicopter 20 days before the fatal crash. The FAA further charged that Spectrum failed to train its pilots properly, failed to maintain proper operations and maintenance records, and operated a second helicopter, a Bell 206B, when it was too unsafe to fly. Jane Dornacker's then 16-year-old daughter, Naomi, received $325,000 in a settlement with the owner and maker of the helicopter.
Deep within my crypt, in the sacred pyramid, whence cometh the strange power to strengthen wine and sharpen blades, there comes to my mind a certain shape, a shape which through time will never fade. Sometimes a love between two people can be like a mighty pyramid. It seems that the god of love himself is in your own personal temple, and no one could have done what he did. Yes, you've got pyramid power. Something special, very special with somebody. And you know you do not plan to create no triangular situation. But when the sacred gong rings deep within, there's really not very much you can do about it. It's more than just infatuation. That pyramid power blossoms out like a flower.
When that happened, Joey Reynolds said, I changed my whole way of thinking. I became a little more compassionate, a little less of a wise ass, and a little bit more grown up. There's a memorial to Jane Dornacker in Wayne, New Jersey, where she and her family lived.
Let me do a song, a real song, a serious song, that I did write for the tubes, and I think you might understand and realize and remember this song called Don't Touch Me There. Oh, baby. Move closer to me. I've had all that I can stand. Take hold of me with your hand. Unzip that jacket. That leather smells so sweet. It gives me an idea. Let's go get something to eat. That's kind of the thought that crossed my mind when I realized how quiet everybody was being. And it was probably because everybody was hungry.
To not be there and yet still be there.